Like to read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, please. 1 Samuel chapter 2. There are a number of scriptures I'd like to read, and my subject this morning is weight loss. Verse 3. Hannah is praying, and this is in her prayer toward the beginning. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. I think she's thinking of her adversary in the home. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. Now I think she's thinking about Eli. For the Lord God is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Proverbs chapter 16. There are three scriptures in the Proverbs that have that same word weighed in them. First one in chapter 16. Verse 2. I was about to read to you from chapter 16, but it was actually Psalm 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man, all the ways of a man are clean, pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord, again, it's weigheth, pondereth the hearts. Chapter 24, verse 11. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that weigheth the heart consider it? And he that does for you what you refuse to do for the other, he that guards you, guards or keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? And one other passage in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And the ESV translates that rather interestingly. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others weigh what is said. Discern what is said. Physically, rapid weight loss, check with the doctors here, rapid weight loss is an indicator of likely physical problems. Spiritually, weight loss is a cause for serious concern. Physically, losing some weight is in. Likely, the average weight of the gathering here today, I don't know who's going to determine this, but likely the average weight of the gathering here today would have a weight that is less than the average weight of a group like this 20 years ago. For what it's worth, it's in to lose weight. But when it comes to spiritual weight, I'm wondering if it's in to have less spiritual weight. That's my burden. Spiritual weight, I think, is countercultural. I think it's just part of the casualness of the age, just part of the lack of really believing in absolutes, the lack of wanting to be too enthusiastic about something that's controversial. Truth. I wonder if that is why I am concerned about weight loss among us. It may be hard to define what spiritual weight is. I checked on the internet for some help. All the help I found was masking physical weight loss with spiritual. If you learn Bible principles and you live by Bible principles, you lose weight physically. And that's maybe a picture of the sham of our day in using spiritual things for what they are not really intended for and covering issues by a spiritual, supposedly spiritual cloak. But in the passages that we have read, it is not just that we may be concerned about weight loss. What I want to point out to you is that God's very much concerned about spiritual weight. Let me talk to you about the meaning of spiritual weight. What I think it means, I can't really define it so much as I can maybe describe it for you, with you. And you will recognize a father, Christian father, dealing with his teenage children, telling them something they don't want to hear. And they can totally discard what he has told them. They likely will have that reaction anyway. But they can totally discard it with, "Oh, that's Dad again." If that father has spiritual weight, they may roll their eyes. But when they walk away from the table, they say nothing. Don't like it, but we do respect what he stands for because we know he means it. A wife that says to her husband, this doesn't happen to you, but it could happen to some of us, you spoke too long today. Something like that. And when a wife has spiritual weight, the husband listens. When he thinks she's against him on everything or doesn't like the fact that he even spoke, weight loss. A shepherd speaks to a young believer and does not say to that young believer exactly what the young believer wants to hear. But he's done it because he cares. It's not just that he wants outward conformity. He cares about the spiritual quality of the believer. If he has weight, it may not always turn out the very best, but if he has weight, a young person will walk away and say to himself, "I wish he wouldn't have said that to me. But I understand he is saying it because he wants the best for me." If he has no weight, little weight, I don't want to be overgeneralizing, but I think maybe there will be more resentment caused than spiritual growth. And you young people have friends? And a friend says to you, "You know, I don't think we ought to be doing this tonight, Saturday night, Sunday morning, tomorrow morning. I don't think we should be doing this." If he's the run-of-the-mill, fun guy that never has any interest in talking about spiritual things, a lightweight, then I think what he said is good for laughs. If there's a genuineness there, if there is some concern about spiritual things, I think the friends there slow down and say, "Yeah, I guess he's right." The beauty of spiritual weight. The word that's used in the Old Testament gives us the idea of a balance. So, you know how those scales that we put up on our wall now for, you know, antiques that we admire, they were scales in which there would be a weight down at this end, and then there would be something that would be weighed, would be put at the other end. And when things were balanced, that was how they knew that how much it weighed. And somehow or other, when the Lord weighs, there is something he puts on the one end that weighs that shows how equal what he places on the other end of the balance is with what he is weighing on this end of the balance. It's the word that's used for money. They weighed out money. They had a standard by which this weight was to be measured. And depending on how it weighs compared to the standard, that's how much it's worth. Money, weighed, balance. The word that's used in the New Testament is actually the word for discerning, for esteeming, for judging, for assizing, assessing. But it's interesting to me that the translators in that case, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I don't know that they ever translated as weighing any other place. But I think what they were trying to say is this, that actually here are prophets that are prophesying at Corinth. They don't have a whole Bible, New Testament and Old Testament, to judge by. And those prophets listen to one another, not with a critical sense, but with a sense of accountability one to another. And a man gets up and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." When Jesus was a boy of 18, he performed a miracle on a blind man that came in for a carpenter job in the carpenter's shop in Nazareth. And another man weighs it up and he says, "Just a minute. We have had revealed to us already that this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee." Now, I'm quoting John that was written afterwards, but just for the moment, I'm using an illustration. And they weighed up new revelation by what was already given of older revelation. And it's others of the same kind to whom these prophets are accountable. There is this check and balance on truth that is going to be given. There is this check and balance on those who have a like responsibility. And they weigh what is said. And they say, that comes up short. That comes up with weight compared to the standard of divine truth that has already been revealed. But ultimately, what I want you to think about with me is the measuring of spiritual weight is actually in the hands of God. By Him, actions are weighed. There is a divine authority that is weighing you and me, that is weighing our lives moment by moment, day by day. And here is the great problem of honesty. Those verses in Proverbs are very searching to me. First of all, it says every way of a man, all a man's ways are pure in his own eyes. Now, to whom does that apply? I think without in the book of Proverbs, I think this is helping interpretation. This is a generalization based on human nature. This is a generalization based on God's nature. Therefore, what we're looking at is this. Every person has an innate tendency to review his own ways and to come up with the idea, don't see any problem with them, in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. But my own eyes are not the standard for weight. It is the Lord who weighs. In chapter 21, it is each way of a man. A man's way is right, just in his own eye. He looks at each individual way and he says to himself, makes sense to me. That's exactly what it should be. It's right. It's just. I think it's fair. That is the innate tendency in every one of us. And over in chapter 24, even more searching. That's why I read the verse before. I think the idea of the first is those who have been wronged, those that are being carried away to death unjustly. So I see something of injustice for others. Now, if it's injustice for me, you can count on me. I'll be there early in the morning. But if it's injustice for somebody else, I didn't know. And rescuing those that are straying. Actually, one of the translations gives it this way. Spare those staggering toward their slaughter. Got the picture? They might be unbelievers. They might be believers that are wandering away from the Lord. But if I spare to actually rescue those that are staggering toward their slaughter, didn't know. How could I know what they were going to do? I never thought of that. I didn't notice it. Doth not he that weigheth the hearts know it? We can justify it. We can find a rationalization for some of our actions or lack of actions. But it's in contrast to the one who weighs the heart. So just think with me for a moment of the variety of ways in which this is presented to us. Hannah speaks about our actions being weighed. How much weight, how much spiritual weight, how much weight that registers on heaven's scales is in the action that I take? How closely does it conform to what the Word of God says? Because I think it should be clear to all of us that the standard by which the Lord is measuring is Himself. How about my actions being weighed in the presence of God? He that weigheth the spirits, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2. And a number of translations give that, he that weigheth the motives. So, how do my motives weigh in the presence of God? How much of my motives are weighed toward David Oliver? How much of my motives are weighed toward what will make me look good? How much of my motives are weighed by what I think will actually help in my interests? We cover it. We all cover it. Oh, no, my motives are spiritual motives. Doth not he that weigheth the spirits know? God is a God who knows all. He's a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. By him, he that pondereth the motives knows. What we read more than once then in Proverbs is he that weigheth the heart. He that weighs the affections. And I can get up on a Sunday morning and it sounds like I love the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? He that pondereth, that weigheth the affections. How much do my affections weigh in the presence of God? Now, you may think that I am aiming what I'm saying at my peers. I was going to say older people, but I'll just give up and say my peers. Actually, it does apply to us. But what I would hope this morning is that there will be something communicated to younger believers that will give you a longing to have more spiritual weight. Doth not he that weigheth the heart know? What about my affections? It is a desperate thing. You talk about people with idols and the tears flowing and gratitude and so on. Man's a religious creature, basically. Masked over so much, but basically there is that longing, that innate longing for God. But man has learned, depravity has made man a creature who can deceive himself in his spiritual interests. And I would wonder this morning if all of us are just willing at the beginning of the conference ministry today to submit ourselves to a weight test by God without our prejudices. Without our estimate clouding the issue. It's a God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed, motives are weighed, affections are weighed, and words are weighed. That's what I'm just taking from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The words that I use, the way that I speak. I know that in that setting it is the communication of truth, but there is a weighing of what is said. Let me talk to you then on a positive note about the marks of spiritual weight. there is a standard by which we are weighed. And the standard, first of all, I've alluded to this. I think that the standard, first of all, must be the standard of the very character of God, an equality with the character of God. New Testament language, godliness. So how much do my motives, in the secrets that God knows even better than I do, how much do my motives actually line up with the interests of God? How much do my affections actually correspond to the love that beams upon me from God and reflects back to Him? We love because He first loved us. And equality because actually the standard on the scales, the weight is the very character of God. I think another mark and a way to weigh is conformity. That is to the person of the Lord Jesus. I just would want to just take a little line of thought for the moment and remind us of a man who had no weight loss spiritually. He spoke, and the Pharisees listened to his speaking, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and they marveled that his word was with authority. He taught them with authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. There's something about this man, he's got a weight that others don't have. When he speaks, it's not that he's authoritarian, but there is the authority of the Word of God. There is the authority of heaven behind what he says. When you read in Mark, they say it's in the synagogue. First recorded miracles in Mark's gospel. In the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit begins to disturb. And the Lord Jesus tells him to hold his peace and commands the unclean spirit and it departs from him. And they say, what new thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth the unclean spirits and they obey him. There is a weight when he speaks, when he serves. There's a weight of divine things in the service of this man for God. And in Luke's gospel, at the very beginning of his ministry in Nazareth, they marveled, they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. There was weight with the Lord Jesus. The weight, I'm not talking about a weight that is acting like you're 80 and speaking in measured tones and trying to emphasize the right thing and raising your voice when you want to have spiritual weight. I'm talking about what can be said in a whisper, but it has weight. Because there's a life behind it. There's a sincerity behind it. Because what you're saying means something to you. So easy to mouth spiritual truths. So different when those spiritual truths have weight with me. And only then will they have weight with others. There is a sincerity, a love for God's truth that's involved then. And there is a maturity. Listen, young Christian, you know there are some old folks. Get tired of hearing them. You hear them, they say the same thing all the time. And you can predict what they're going to do. Never forget to give tremendous credit for consistency that has lasted over 10, 30, 50 years. There's weight when there's that consistency of life. I'm not saying you have to be 80 years old to have weight, but I am saying that consistency will give greater weight as the years pass. Just a couple of things to suggest to you that there's a possibility of marring spiritual weight. When your life is like the world, when your lip sounds like the world, when your longings in life are what the world longs for, when your love of things in this world is what others in the world live for and long for and love, can I only tell you this, despite every other attempt to have spiritual weight, your weight will be lost. Is that clear enough that I don't even have to say any more about that? Because the time is going to take me to where I will not say more about it. Is it possible, like a Samson, to lose weight and not know it? Remember, he shook himself as at other times? He didn't know. Samson, you've lost all your weight. You are a lightweight. You will not be able to do anything. You know, my impression is but I might be wrong. Samson was just a little fellow. I don't know that he would be all that impressive, like wiry strong. I just think the only reason he had strength was because God gave it to him. And now he shakes himself as at other times, and he fails to realize, don't have it. And there are people who live with the Lord Jesus on the outside of their heart door, and they said, we are rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. And they did not know, because they were not living in fellowship with Christ. They were not eating and supping with Him. They did not know that they were poor and blind and miserable and naked. They had lost their weight because they had lacked fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And I'll add this. Losing the value of trials is a good means of spiritual weight loss. To go through a trial and to fail to submit to the Lord, to fail to allow the Lord to communicate to us and deal with us, whether we understand it or not completely, is to lose the value of what could have been for weight gain. Dear child of God, none of us is standing in the middle of the road asking for trials. But James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. God is dealing with you. God is working for your improvement. There is something about to be accomplished by God that cannot be accomplished by any other means. Don't lose the value of the trial and lose weight instead of gaining weight in the things of God. Finally, will you have understood then that what's on my mind is the mandate of spiritual weight? The mandate. And I want to appeal with all my heart to a younger generation. Go in for spiritual weight. It will not be the objective of life, but it will be the outcome of life. The objective of life is to get to know God. The objective of life is to live in fellowship with Christ. The objective of life is to grasp spiritual truth and love it and live it. The objective of life is to contribute to the glory of God. And as you make that your objective, there will be an unknown to you, an unknown result. There will be spiritual weight. And I am crying to a younger generation. Make sure that you devote yourself to the things of God so that there will be weight in your life. So that the character of God's testimony will be maintained. Can I tell you this? That what I have observed of a lack of spiritual weight. Now, don't call me an old man that's gone negative. I just am expressing to you a deep concern. I'm speaking in order to turn that tide perhaps in one life. The loss of spiritual weight will result in the loss of the display of godliness in the assembly, which will result in the decline of character essential in the assembly, pillar and ground of the truth. What's involved, the mandate for spiritual weight, is the preservation of testimony presently and the perpetuation of assembly testimony into days to come if the Lord Jesus has not come. Because I can tell you the right things to believe and the right things to do, and expect that you will carry that on in the next generation. But if what I have told you does not have weight, you will not likely practice it in the next generation. So to my beloved brothers and sisters, older, the perpetuation of testimony depends on our spiritual weight. To younger believers, the preservation and character of assembly testimony at this moment depends on spiritual weight. God help us.